Okay, before moving to the sugya of Meitav and of the government days, we just left a few running in terms of the previous sugya dealing with the world of Asara Shabashabahem, where we left off with the Ukimta of Ravina, Hakoso of Ilan Shinaflu or Shusarabim. And one of them is an assumption that Tosus makes in the Tosus that begins on Vavim Adala from the bottom, moves to Vavim Adays, in terms of the point of intersection between the Mazik and the Nizak. When exactly was the individual hurt by the Kosel or the Ilan? Was it during the fall or was it post the fall? The Gemara, although previously always asked for the exact Kimta here, the Gemara kind of reveals that it's irrelevant. Irrelevant meaning that the same halacha would apply. That we're going to view it as a hybrid between between Avos Nezikin. The problem is that the hybrid that Ravina creates is a hybrid between Bor and Shor. And Lechora, I'm sorry, when the tree or the kotel is falling, when it's in motion, wouldn't that be a hybrid between Eish and Shor, rather than between Bor and Shor? Tosos is bothered by this, and he points out that the Gemara was looking for a hybrid that would cover both cases, the case of when it injured while it was falling, and the case where it injured after it fell. However, in the course of Tosfos' discussion, he points out in the beginning of the thin lines of Tosfos, "Afal pi de bishas nafila yesh ledamoso leish kamo labor," that there is room to bring eish into the picture as being one of the aspects of the hybrid. Tosfos says, "De me eish chaluk b'masha ein koach acher meuruf bo." Namely, that each of them have an issue, but the Gemara chose to deal with Bor because Bor would help us both on the level of during the Nefila and the level post the Nefila. The issue by Eish is that the Bor is that the tree falling or the kosel falling is a case of ein koach acher mugurav bo, that we view the pull of gravity as ein koach acher mugurav bo. So I sent you to a Ran in Meseches Sanhedrin who points out that this is the shita of Tosfos b'chol haTorah kula, that the Ran quotes Rabbeinu David, and Rabbeinu David quotes b'shem rabosav balei haTosafot, that we do not view the pull of gravity as being koach acher meuruf bo, as opposed to the prevalent air motion, the prevalent winds, that is koach acher meuruf bo. And the question is exactly where does one draw the line, and is this a necessary conclusion? So, if you saw over there, the Ran was bedayek from the Gemara that in the world of Retzach, in the world of murder, if we're dealing with a murder with an item being thrown at an individual, so clearly if the item is thrown directly on the individual and he dies, that is murder, that's kocha. Similarly, if the item is thrown against the wall and it ricochets off the wall and the person dies, that's also considered to be first degree murder. However, and similarly, says the Gemara, if a person were to throw an object in the air and it were to make an arc, it would make a vector and hit a person, that's the equivalent of the ricocheting off the wall, where this is all one hemshech of his koach. But what appears to be from the Gemara is that were one to throw an object straight in the air and it would cease to move for a split second and then fall directly down, and kill someone, that individual would not halachically be a murderer in terms of onesh misa of bezdin. Clearly, he's a murderer, and clearly HaKadosh Baruch Hu will deal with him. But in terms of the onesh of bezdin, this is not murder. And the question is, why? Why is this not murder? If a person were to light a fire and the fire were to go with a prevalent wind and to burn someone, that would be murder. So why is this any different? Why is the pull of gravity any different than a fire being pulled by a breeze that is there? So that's what the Ran asks. V'hikshu al zeh lama lo yehechayev iazlo ha'even letachas mamla shazrika shalosh zarak lemala chiyevo lo hayirida hazot. The same way that a person lighting a fire is responsible for that which nature does to his fire, why wouldn't we say the same thing over here? Lama lo tehe ha'aliyah hazot kamad l'keish b'sadehu achar kach ba'a ruach metzuya d'chayev. If you would pass again, and we'll get to this a little later on, of isham isham chitzav. V'hochi kai melon sha'af api she'ein ha'esh ho'lechus b'kol chokral achar shu ha'madlik b'mekom ruach metzuya ro'en oso ki'ilu hu atzmo asa'ah. This is our sugya. Why is this any different than? So the answer of the Bali HaTosfos, as we see in our Tosfos, is the ein chiyuv nezikun ela bekoach ubepoal lo b'mashe naasa ruach metzuya poelasi. Rewanosa ki'ilu haya b'koach adam ayidei shehi mitzuya. Avo yirida lamata ein ba po'el shel klal. In other words, one requires an act which one can view as a continuity of his act. So the act of wind blowing, that koach acher, can be viewed as a continuity of his koach. He set the kochot into motion. But with his koach, he took advantage of another koach. However, in the world of gravity, ela machmas kveda, he poelet, he yoredet. In other words, but when we view the world of gravity, this has nothing to do with a koach. This is an internal issue. Af im haragobi ridasel onaseh zebepoal, ela koved ha'eshu shehizik me'ilav. There's no continuity to his koach. His koach finished the moment that the rock hit its height, and what came afterwards is Naase Me'elav, Hizik Me'elav. Ken Kasser Ben David B'Shem Rabosa Bali HaTosfos comes along the Ran, and he disagrees totally. That he points out that the issue is not one of Koach or non Koach, but rather Ruach Metzuya Hi B'Teva. V'kevan shehi b'teva ro'anosa ki'ilu haya poel ha'mavir ha'esh. Imken yoser hi b'teva tenua te'even alamata l'fi shekol eit meha'itim terid lamata achar shushuch lamala. Namely, that if we're going to use the concept of koach acher mu'ruv bo as taking advantage of the laws of nature, clearly the law of the pull of gravity is even a more powerful law than the law of a wind taking a fire, where the wind can be very, very fickle. But over here, we're dealing with that which is going to occur to every rock which hits a certain peak. It's always going to fall in the exact same manner. And therefore, taking advantage of Teva, if that's considered to be the Mechayev of Eish, so over here, Lechora also, one would be Chayev. In other words, I found this to be very fascinating because I thought that one could always ask, before Newton, pre-Newton, right, before the apple fell on his head, how did people view gravity? What was the theory before Newton? And would this have any relevance to the machlokes between the Bali HaTosfos and the Ran? And what is interesting is that Behemet we find two schools of thought before Newton. One of them was yet from the Greeks, that the Greeks viewed that why do objects fall? Because all of matter is made up of four elements, fire and water and earth and air. And every element has its internal nature, and every element follows its internal nature. The Greeks assumed that there's no such thing as motion without a cause. But the cause of motion, what we call cause and effect, or the effect would be motion. The cause of motion is that which is internally in the object. Fire rises, earth falls. And so over here, an object which is basically made of afar, of earth, is made of the elements of earth, is going to fall. That's the nature of afar. The nature of afar is to be pulled towards the center of the earth. The nature of fire is to go up. Nature of water is to go down. Nature of air is to go up. In other words, that everything is built into the nature. That's l'chora what the Balei HaTosfos were working off of. That this is na'aseh me'elav. This is something which is not a koach. It's not an external law of nature. It's simply built into the character of the element. Ma'ashein came the Ran. Was before Newton, there were many, many who thought this is a law of nature. Newton was able to quantify it. He was able to create an equation that it's totally in the mass, clape the mass and the distance. And he had an equation that worked out excellently until Einstein came along and upturned it. But that we're dealing over here not with something which is internal in a within an object, but rather that there is a law of nature that things are attracted to a heavier body. And as such, this is a law of nature which is much more of a constant than the world of Ruach Metzuya. And so if Ruach Metzuya is considered to be a mechayev, so a law of nature which is more of a constant would certainly be a mechayev, yes?
I'm thinking about it in terms of Newton. I thought in terms of the what we now know about gravity, meaning in the past Newton, which I think is more like Tosfos. Because now we know that gravity is mutual, a large object and a small object have gravity towards each other. So right. that's more like Tosfos' Shita, that it's coming from the thing.
From the internal.
Right.
Okay, Beseder. In other words, I'm just pointing out that it could be, but again, that's what you say we know from Newton, but Einstein said there's no such thing as a pull of gravity. It's all an issue of a time warp, and that within this time warp, there is an interference by mass, and an object will take the path which is of least resistance, taking into effect that time warp and the mass. But it's all relative. It's all part of his relativity. I don't know how that would exactly fit into.
I think we still fit better for Tosfos.
Because it's less of a law of nature, but again,
because the way that it interacts with the warp of space is predicated by the size and density of the object, not the size and density of the other things are in its way.
Could be. Okay, the question is how to translate this into scientific jargon. But in any case, to answer your question, is just that the Ran also points out, very importantly, that he's not cholek on the Gemara. Namely, the Gemara implies that if an object was thrown straight up and comes straight down, then it's not going to be retzach. What he's pointing out is that there's a difference between the world of Nezikin and the world of Ritzicha.
Yes. The Ran would come out machmir in Hilchos Taras Mishpacha, I guess, in terms of right, because we generally were machmir on husband by throwing things to each other.
Can
but we're makil if they.
According to the Ran, the rule is that we view. The rule of gravity as a koach acher ma'uriv bo. This would be the world of Eish in the world of Nezikin and would be Chayev. However, in the world of Retzach, there we're much more machmir, that it's not enough to have a koach which extends from the man. You need a koach rishon. And the koach rishon is defined by the original throwing or by the original ricocheting, or by when you lift the wall of a dam, the original water, but that which comes afterwards, even though it's going to come, it's clearly going to come, but that's already a koach sheni and is pater in the world of retzach. You're no one considered to be a first-degree murderer when that second wave of water comes along. Mashenken, the world of Nezikin, Maynafkimina, koach rishon, koach sheni. And he uses the terminology that we'll get to later on, Yitz Hashem, of Grumma and Garmi, that in the world of Retzach, we view anything beyond the Koach Rishon as a Grumma. Ma'ashenken, in the world of Nezikin, we have this world of Garmi, where we have an immediate cause which is brought about by the individual, that is chayav. So what comes out is that according to Rabbeinu David, you'd be patur, if we're dealing with purely the force of gravity, both in Retzach and in the Zikin. This is not koach acher me'urevbo. This is nasa me'eleha. Masha enkein, in according to the Ran, in Achinami, you'd be patur in the world of Retzach because it's not a koach rishon, but you'd be chayev in the world of Nezikin because it is a koach sheni, and a koach sheni is chayev in the world of Nezikin. So you wanted to ask?
I'm just having a hard time conceptually understanding that if you know how something acts, and therefore you, like a rock, and therefore you throw it up, you
taking advantage of its nature.
Why that separates you from it?
So according to the Ran, it doesn't. According to the Ran, this is exactly what the Ran is pointing out. That knowing the laws of nature and using the laws of nature is considered to be a hemshech of your act. According to Rabbeinu David, you're only going to be chayav on something which is kocho, which is an extension of your putting something into motion. But if you manage to find the technical p'tur, by the fact that this is no longer connected to your motion is already finished, and this is na'asa me'elav, in other words, then, technically, you're off the hook.
So what would be the case if someone holds something and drops it?
That would be kocho.
It would be kocho?
That would be, you know, it's the act of letting go of it.
Because you're not actually pushing it.
You're
taking yourself away.
No, but you're putting it into motion. And namely, as opposed to throwing something up, I think, and then it were it to come down on its own, over here, you're putting it into motion. I find it very hard to believe that would be any less than kocho.
I think from a physics perspective,
I agree that conceptually it'll be much more difficult to explain. But I think that when one can feel that there's a difference.
When the object is here, so it has potential energy going down. It already has that potential energy. I'm just in the way. So if I move out of the way, so I actualize that potential energy.
It's like the taking away the dam. You have the wall of the dam. So you have a koach rishon. The koach rishon is considered to be you. I mean, when you open a faucet, right, to wash your hands, mm-hmm. There's a halacha that one requires koach gavra for netilas yadayim. That we view the opening of the faucet, removing the dam, as the koach rishon, even though the water is now coming from all different reasons. But there was a wall stopping the water, and you opened it. That's considered to be a koach rishon. That's koach gavra. That would be even in the world of Retzach, and certainly in the world of Nezikin. Masha'inkin,
if we threw it.
What?
Masha'inkin, if we threw it, because then at the time we let go from it, it doesn't happen.
It has none of our...
In fact, we're doing the opposite. We're throwing it off.
Right. And it has none of our koach within it any longer. Okay. Just wanted to... I don't know. I enjoy sugyas that have to do somewhat with science. Yes?
Would we be able to, I don't know if it works exactly, but what we learned earlier about the like halachic process, so could we say that the Ran holds that it doesn't really matter what happened in the middle, but the fact that you threw it and then it landed, so it's all, we look at it as all one process regardless of how it got there?
I don't think that's what he is saying. I think he says black and white. He says, "Haruach hametzuyah hu b'teva v'kevan shu b'teva roen osa ki ilu hayapoel hamavir ha'esh." That we view it as a continuity of the koach of the individual. That there is a koach of gravity, and this koach of gravity, parallel to the koach of wind, the person is taking advantage of. Whenever a person takes advantage of a law of nature, that is considered to be a hemshech of his koach, of his koach. You know, it's okay. Okay, there is, however, a totally, totally different explanation of why we would prefer to use the world of Bor as opposed to the world of Esh. That's found in the Sefer Nachlas David, in which he says that we do not have here Esh, that something falling is not Esh. Not that simply we're missing technically the Koach Acher Me'urevbo, we're simply missing the entire masik, that there's a very basic difference between bor and esh if we want to conceptualize them. That bor is a damaging object as opposed to esh, which is a damaging force. Namely, a bor as an object is always going to have a certain circumference where the individual has to come to the bor. He has to come into the realm of the bor. Ma'ashein kein esh is a destructive force. And there is no, as a person does not have to come to destructive force, the destructive force will come to him. So if we have a situation where the person will only be injured if he puts himself in a certain area, we're going to call that bor. Ma'ashein kein, if a person can be injured no matter where he is, we're going to call that esh. And California, currently, there's tremendous amounts of destruction of esh. It's moving from place to place. Ma'ashein over here, even the tree falling, the person has to be within that area in which the tree is falling for him to be hurt. Namely, he has to enter into that area. And that's where we're going to find it. Even if we're dealing with that which is in motion, we're still going to define it as bor as opposed to esh. And the difference between esh and bor is not that, as we would have thought, stationary is esh and moving is bor. We're saying no, that an object is bor, be it moving or be it stationary. Ma'ashein kein, a force is esh, be it moving or be it stationary. And so the question is, who has to go to whom? In the world of bor, the person has to come to the bor. In the world of esh, the esh, in other words, is that which is going towards the individual. And so in that respect, we have over here, even a falling tree, a timber, falling tree would be, or falling wall would be considered to be bor. It's a destructive object as opposed to esh. Yes?
How does that work for the kimta of abaye on the previous avod? That Augustine must sow that well, as they're falling or esh. Isn't that, but they also have a limit to how far they can fall. Like they can't get
any more in the wind. No, the ruach matsuya will, it's again depending upon the weight of the object. The ruach matsuya can blow a balloon from Baza to Yerushalayim. In other words, it's a ruach matsuya. It's not a question.
So it would depend on the nature, on like how heavy
It depends. It would be many factors, but in other words, the ruach matsuya is basically pulling the object to the. Sorry, it's not that. The ruach matsuya is pulling the destruction, destructive power to wherever. Ma'ashein kein, in terms of a tree or a wall, it's limited by the nature of the object as to where it can damage. It's a bor arichta in the language of Nachlas David. Okay, again, it's a very, very different hagadara. I don't know if you would have come to it without Tosfos, but after having seen it in Tosfos, we'll have to see whether we can apply it later on in the Gemara. Again, all of this we're going to put on hold for us. We're going to move into Meitav, and we're going to deal with the world of payments as opposed to the world of Masikin, but b'chol zot, we should all keep it in mind. What we left out from the sugya was a Rambam, which is a difficult Rambam. Namely, we have, at least we thought we had, a pretty serious hold on the laws of falling objects in halacha, on the rules of bor, that we saw Tosfos Devar Masu Ida Afkirinu, who gave us the our principles, and what we saw up to this point was that if we have a nefilat shia, if an object fell on the ground in Rishus HaRabim due to negligence, then whether we're dealing with a case of lo hifkiro, or we're dealing with a case of hifkiro, however the individual wants to relate to this object, whether he wants to be mafkir it, or he wants to return at some point and take it, the halacha is that this is chayef. This is a classic bor. right? Nefila v'pshia, that's a kriya, that's considered to be the digging of a pit. And so it's irrelevant whether he's mafkir, he wasn't mafkir, this is going to be bor. I shouldn't be saying it. It's going to be chayev. And if we have a case of lo hifkiro, according to Shmuel, it's going to be bor, according to Rabbi, it's going to be shor. But we're going to have a chiv. Okay? Masha ein kein, we saw that Tosus quoted the Gemara on Daf Kef Tesamad Aleph, that if we have nefilas ones, we say niskal lav posheyahu, and we have nefilas ones, then in a case of lo hifkiro, namely he wants to maintain the pieces, so then he's going to be chayav because he should have picked it up. So in other words, there, if it's his, he just can't leave his object in Rishus HaRabbit. But if hifkiro, then we said pater because it wasn't, in other words, he didn't create the boar, it was nefilas ones, it's not his, and so, you know, it's pater. It's not nice of him to leave these pieces in Rishus HaRabbim, but again, he didn't put a boar in Rishus HaRabbim, an onus put the boar in Rishus HaRabbim, and he's mafgir, it doesn't have anything to do with it, so he's pater. This is what Tosfos pointed out on Daf Vav Amud Aleph. Okay? Okay, given this background, now let's look at the Rambam. The Rambam says, Ha'kosa va'ilan shenaflu l'rishus harabim v'hiziku pater milushalem af alpi shehifkiran l'fi she'enan domen labor sheri ein t'chilasan l'hazik v'im hayu re'uim bezdin kovin lozman l'kutza sa'ilan v'listar esakoso kama zman, the Rambam claims, shloshim yom, naflu betoch hazman v'hiziku patur. La'achar zman, chayv neshashiya osan. So we go back to the beginning of the Rambam. He points out that when they fell, and again, this is without any warning, this is what we would call a nefilas ones, right? All of a sudden, just the person goes out and see his tree fell and just around him. There was no, Bezdin didn't speak to him, there was no warning in advance. Patur milushalem, af al pi shehifkiran. What would the implication be in the Rambam? What if he was not mafkir?
I think it's more obvious that he's pater.
Certainly pater. Pater mi l'shalem af al pi shehifkiran. So over here we have the Rambam, l'chora, saying that we have a case of nefilas ones, and in the case of hifkiran, or in the case of lo hifkiran, pater. But the question is why? We saw that in the Gemara said that if you have a nefilas ones and lo hifkiran, you're chayav. You shouldn't leave it in Rishus HaRabim. Over here in Achinami, this was a nefilas ones, but now he's not mafkirid. He plans to take this as lumber. He plans to reuse the bricks, and someone trips over it, mapitom, that he should be pater. This is his takala. It's his boar that he's leaving in Rishus HaRabim. This bothered everyone. So the Magid Mishnah Alatar comes up with a solution. The Magid Mishnah says that this Gemara is our sugya. V'divhi Rabbeinu hein kishihiziku bish'as nefila. L'fikach patur af al pi shehifkira. V'chein muchach sham. Namely, if we're dealing with a situation where it's while it's falling, it's damaging, so there's no time to pick it up. So that's why pater. Namely, the Magid Mishnah gives an ukimta. This is not a classic case of nefilas ones where the person's going to trip over it after a period of time, and we could say it should have been picked up. If lo hifkiran, and this is a case where it's happening all at the same time as it's falling. However, he says certainly. Aval im huzak behen la'achar nefila v'aday im hifkiran havirei mafkir nezaka b'toch ones u'patur v'imiskaven liskos behem, in other words, lo hifkiran chayev k'moshin isbar lemala b'nishbar kado. That's the Gemara on Daf Kaftes. The Rambam wouldn't disagree with the Gemara on Daf Kaftes. All right, so we set up this world as an ukimta, but you realize that this is very, very, very dachuk within the Rambam, because this Rambam is halacha yutes of an entire perek, which is talking about bor. And all the cases of bor, every halacha within this perek, one after another, 18 halachos we've had on board that are speaking about when you trip over it. And all of a sudden, a halacha yutet is going to talk about it falls on your head. And then halacha chaf, chaf alaf, chaf beis are going to go back to niskal. Without any hint that we have changed horses in midstream, in halacha yutet. Again, it's an ukimtot work. But the problem is over here that there is a greater problem in the Rambam, which is what the Taz points out. Let's continue in the Rambam. Again, we'll restart again in the Rambam. Hakotel v'ilan shenaflu rishus harabim v'iziku patar milo shalem. Okay, let's take away this little piece over here, afal pishef kiran, that we had an ukimta for. Why patar milo shalem? Again, this is before Beis Din got involved in the situation at all. L'fishen einan domen labor shaharei ein tchilasan l'nezek. Is this the reason that you're patur because ein tchilasan l'nezek? What did the Gemara say about the issue of ein tchilasan l'nezek when we're dealing with a kosel or an ilan? The Gemara says we have a shat sarasheva that neutralizes this. In a chinami, a classic boar has to be tchilasan l'nezek, but we have this neutralizing factor called shor, which is ein tchilasan l'nezek, and still you're chayav. That's the whole sugya. That's what Ravina is coming to tell us. Don't look at the world of tchilasan l'nezek. Tchilasan l'nezek is irrelevant. Why really are you potter if it's not an issue? If tchilasan l'nezek is not the issue, why, according to the bottom of line of the Gemara, if there had been no warning, are you putter? Very simple. Because this was a nefilas onus. Because this is a nefilas onus. Namely, the Rambam should have written, Hakosev ilan shenafrish zarabim v'iziku putter l'fi sheyeshkan nefilas onus. That's all. Einan domin labor shezet nefilas onus. It's not a question of tchilasan l'nezek. Tchilasan l'nezek, that we can neutralize very, very easily. This is what the Taz points out. Li kashali b'mashasiyem atam nushayin tchilasan l'nezek harmina b'gemar mitam zayaganu l'chayevo mikoach shor yochiach. The tchilasan l'nezek can be neutralized by shor. Ele ikar aptur machmashahu onus b'nefila. Havale mafkir nezaka v'achar nefilas onus. Lama lo siyem kan atam kein. Why did the Rambam give a different reason than the one that is offered throughout by all the Rishonim and is mashma from the Gemara as well? That the Magid Mishnah's ukimta is not going to help us. Even while it's falling, it's also nefilas onus. While it's falling, nefilas onus. After it fell, it's nefilas onus. In other words, and what do we do with this kasha of the Taz? So over here we have an approach of, well, we have the Aruch HaShulchan gives an answer. And Rav Chaim explains the Aruch HaShulchan if you want. And Rav Chaim gives the Hesber. If you look at the Aruch HaShulchan, he says, Ubir hadvarim, the Harambam potro, afilu kishiyada mehanafila, v'hoya lo shahus l'salkan, v'lo hifkiran, v'afilu hifkiran, v'dami yosher l'bor b'rishus harabim, ze ikar habor hamur b'torah, mikol makom, Kevan she'ein tchilas asiyasa l'nezek patur below hasrami bezdin, aval pi shehisru bo anoshim acherim. Skip the lo dami to the next to the last line. Aval ze shebana kosa v'nata ilan kederech adam, ein alav shum chiyuv afilu naflu v'yada, bein hifkiran below hifkiran, ach miasman shebezdin hisru bo, have a kinyan chadash anechshev ketchilas asiyasa l'nezek. All he says is that this is different. This is a unique situation. This is a case where we have no chiyuv at all, but the Aruch HaShulchan doesn't explain why is this any different than a classic nefila ba'onis. Namely, he's coming to answer the question of the Taz, and in those little brackets afterwards which points that out. However, what exactly he is saying is very, very unclear. But the beauty of the Reb Chaim is Reb Chaim gives an explanation, not just an answer, but an explanation. Yes?
Are they explaining
the Well, we'll come back. The Aruch HaShulchan simply says this is different than the classic world of Ones, that over here, ain't no love chiyuv. There's no chiyuv at all that we should speak about. But why is this different than the Nefilas Ones? He doesn't explain. He just says it goes beyond onus. And what goes beyond onus is called over here Ein tchilasam l'nezek. But what does it mean? In other words, what do the words mean within the Aruch HaShulchan? Maybe had he been around, he would have asked him, he would have said, oh, this is Reb Chaim. But he didn't give us the internal explanation. So when we move over to Reb Chaim, basically Reb Chaim interprets one difficult Rambam with another difficult Rambam, which is the best way of doing it, because then if we see there's a sheet of the Rambam, and also that the question about the Mishnah will fall off. In other words, we just have a whole different perspective. The Rambam he wants to work off of is in Perek Yud Gimel Halacha Yud, and he quotes the Rambam. It's a chain, what's it called? Chain collision, right? Like you have on a highway sometimes. That one car bumps into another in the fog, one car bumps another car, bumps another car. In other words, you have this whole chain collision. And the question is the responsibility of the individuals along the chain. So the Rambam, just to read it together in the second paragraph of Reb Chaim, Hakadorim, where you have everyone carrying pottery pot on their shoulders, Niskal Harishon, the first fellow trips, v'nafal. Then v'niskal Hasheni Barishon, second fellow falls over the first person. Then the third person falls over the second person, etc. V'kol echad mehen yeshlo la'amod v'lo amad. Namely, they're all lying there, but they all have the ability of getting up and removing themselves from the area. So the halacha is Harishon chayev v'niske gufo shel sheni, bein huzak begufo shel rishon hamuto ba'aretz, Bein Huzak be Masa'o. The first person is going to be responsible. His nefila was a nefila of Pshia, his nefila was a nefila of Ones. However, even though it was nefila of Ones, we said he has time to get up. And so if he doesn't get up, and the second one then trips over him, so this is the nefila of Ones. He was not mafkir anything. It's all his. His body is his. His masa is his. So this is the case. The first person is the nefila of Ones. Lo hifkir, chayev. That's the first person. However, hasheni, chayev beniske gufo shel shlishi imhuzak beguf el shel sheni. However, imhuzak bemasao shel sheni shenafal patur. In other words, that over here, the sheni also is an afilas onus. And we have his masa, his backpack, or his pottery, that fell, bin afilas onus, and he's not mafkiri. And he had time to move it. But cholza, if someone is hurt by that masa, patur. That's a chiddush, right? What do you mean patur? In other words, we just said that you are chayav. So why are you patur? Sherei omer lo hasheni borze shehu masoi ein ani hakore oso hare harishon hipil hasheni im masao. In other words, I didn't create this. You have any issues, go to the first person. He made this, not me. There's no reason why I should be chayav. Namely, that within the Rambam, we have a category of nefilas pshia. We have nefilas ones, and then we have a case of bor she aso'o acher. When we have someone else making the bor, then hifkiro or lo hifkiro, even though yesh zman l'salek, it's even in a case of lo hifkiro v'yesh zman l'salek, the halacha is patur. But this is what we see in Perek Yud Gimel, Halacha Yud. That this is the shita of the Rambam, that we don't have two categories, nefilas pshia, nefilas ones. We have three categories, nefilas pshia, nefilas ones, and bor sha'aso acher. If you want to, this is suk chadash shel ones. Using the language of the Reb Chaim in the next paragraph, that we have three categories. Okay. Just as an aside, this issue, do we have three categories, only two categories, is a machlokas between the Baal HaMor and the Ramban. That the Rif and the Ramban both say that in a case of Aso Acher, Lo Hifkiro, Patur. The Baal HaMor, of course, asks on the Rif, don't we have a din of Nefilas Ones O Hifkiro Chayav? And the Baal HaMor leaves the Rif Betzarachiyu, and he disagrees with the Rif. The Milchamos, this is Daf Yudala, Daf Tesvav, in the Rif, and in the second parak, on the sugi over there, on Daf after Daf Kaftes. So the Ramban basically says this third category. This is not Reb Chaim, this is already the Ramban in the Milchamos. What Reb Chaim says is move to our case. Move to our situation. Kosel v'ilan shenoflu, that when we have a case of bor shena'asa me'elav, when something occurs internally, it wasn't made by someone else, no one tripped, no nefilas pshia, no nefilas ones, no third party, bor shena'asa me'atzmo is the same as bor sha'aso'o acher. Namely, that this Rambam over here that spoke about lo ifkiro, ifkiro patur, it's because this is case number 4, bor sha'aso, which has the dinim of case number 3. And the halacha is, therefore, without any yukimtot, we don't have any yukimtot, simply that's the halacha, that if we have a bor which is made on its own, it's the equivalent of a bor which is made by someone else. The common denominator is lo ani kriseha. That if I can claim I didn't dig this ditch, I didn't dig it by falling bipshia, I didn't dig it by falling baones, someone else did it, or it happened on its own, lo ani kriseha, there's no bor. And if there's no bor, my nafgamina, if I was mafgir, my nafgamina, if I was not mafgir, my nafgamina, if there was time for me to remove it, there wasn't time to remove it. There's no bor. I'm not a Baal HaBor. I have nothing to do with this bor. And therefore, the halacha is that I am potter. This is what we call, what the Rambam calls over here, ein tchilaso l'nezek. In other words, this is not what the Gemara speaks about a little later on. This is ein tchilaso l'nezek. This is not a bor. It's simply not a bor at all. What happens when Bezdin warns me and tells me, you know, where it's you have to pick this, you know, or you have to cut down your tree, and I don't cut it down, and then it falls down. So then I am a posheya. I'm a posheya. That's shor yochiach. Sure, I'm chayev due to pshia, even though it didn't start off as a shor, it started off as a little calf that's not going to damage anyone. But b'chol zot, if I'm posheya and I allow my shor to go from place to place and it causes damage, I'm chayev. So over here, I'm chayev. Namely, that we're reinterpreting our terminology. That we're dealing over here, that halacha yutet is basically working off, and this is Reb Chaim's Mechadish. Halacha Yutet is working off of Halacha Yud, that in Halacha Yud we have a din of lo ani kriseha, I didn't dig it, and if I didn't dig it, it's not my bor, ein tchilaso l'nezek, this has nothing to do with me, and that's what the Rambam is saying, therefore I'm patur, whether hifkira, lo hifkira, it's not my bor. That's ein tchilaso l'nezek, were bezdin to warn me, then that would be pshia. Pshia, I'm chayefan. That's a new din of pshia that I'm chayefan, yes?
Would the Balmor in that side hold of this fourth case?
Balmor doesn't hold of the third case. The Balmor says we have either nefilas pshia or nefilas onus. That 2 is equal to 3 is equal to 4. We don't have over here more categories. Either if it didn't fall either my pshia, then we view it in the filas ones. There's a difference between ifkiru and lo ifkiru. This is it. That's what we have. Any case which is not pshia, be it 2, be it 3, be it 4, we have the same halachot, and that's the way the Magid Mishnah was working. We have to fit it into category number 2, and so we set up an ukimta to explain why it's not category number 2. But basically, according to the Baal HaMor,
We don't have more than two categories. Masha'enken, according to the Ramban, the Ramban again explains the Rif, but this Lechora is also the Rambam, the Rif and the Rambam and the Ramban. We have category three, comes from Reb Chaim, and says that category number four is an extension of category number three. Let's read it inside Birshutem, okay? Just to... The first paragraph of the first section is simply the question, as he points out in the brackets, V'chein hiksha hataz. Why does the Rambam speak about Ein tchilasan l'nezek? The Rambam should say, this is an afilas ones. The tirets, this is already Reb Chaim giving the tirets, the second paragraph in the first section. The das harambam de'ein na'ase bor shelo, ela imkein asa'o mamash. A person has to make a bor. Again, he can make it b'pshia, he can make it ba'ones, but if it's made by someone else, or on its own, simply we have pasha velosire kahezek, afilu niskaven liskobo, lo mikri b'zeboro. The fact that it came about via someone else, or it came about on its own, even if he had time to move it, like you had that person, the second person in the chain collision, he could have moved his broken pot. He could have moved it. However, or even if it wasn't a broken pot, he could have moved his knapsack. He could have moved it. And even if he still intends to keep it, you know, it's lo hifkiro, it's not his bor. Udelo kitosvos be amud aleph yemasul iv afkarinu. Tosfos claims that the concept of pshia applies to the world of nefilas ones, and our sugya is a world of nefilas ones. According to the Rambam, our sugya is not a world of nefilas ones. You can't compare it to nefilas ones. The raya lezem midvarav. How did the Reb Chaim come to create this category of a boar that's created on its own from devarav and halacha yud? Where in halacha yud, the Rambam is just skipping down two lines. Hasheni chayev v'niske gufo shel shlishim huzak begufo shel sheni. Avlam huzak b'maso shel sheni shenaf al pater. Why? Shrei omer lo. The second person tells the third person, bor zeh shehu masai, my knapsack, my pot, ain ani hakoro. So I didn't put this in Rishus HaRabim. I didn't create this. Harishon hi pil hasheni imaso. He, that first person, that's what he did. It's not me. It's not my bor. Va'afal pi shohaya lo la'amod, and even though he had time to get up, pater. The fact that he didn't get up on his own, even though he could have gotten up, it's not his bor. Okay, then to read that same section over in the next paragraph, in the next section. In the first paragraph, he points out, Tama Bataz. The Taz was bothered. Why is Ram speaking about Ein Tchilasel and Nezek? He should speak about Ones. Venira, in the second paragraph, Rambam Gabe Shtei Kadarim, he quotes again that Rambam in Halacha Yud, Sover de Heichi Diesh, paraphrases it, Heichi Diesh Ta'ana, Hai Bira Lav Anak Krise, if I can claim, this is not mine, I didn't do it, Afilu Lo Hifkiro, I'm Pater. Umuchach Diesh Nafkamina, Heichadu Pater Mishum Ones. The difference is, if it was his, but he was Onus, then Hayo Lo Penai, Lesalko, Lo Have Ones. Then the fact that he could have moved it away, then already it's no longer an ones. Aval Hekim de Lo Asa Klau, category three, Afilu Hayo Lo Penai, the person is Patur. Vim Kane, Hacha, Bekosel, Vilan, what we call category four, Hu Lo Asa Bor. You know, just as if someone else digs it, it's not mine. If it happens on its own, it's not mine. The Bishah Shebana, Lo Have Bor. When he built the wall, it wasn't a takala. And when it falls down, it fell down on its own. Amai chayav. So then, just skipping to the third paragraph over there, nimtza, the ones patur mishem trei tameyu. He wants to call categories two and three ones, but two different types of ones. We have a nefilas ones, that's category two. Vizadavka belonis kaven liskos. But if the person had been Niskaven Liskos, he would have been Chayav, if Lohefki would have been Chayav. And then we have category three, Ika Otam Shelo Asa Kal Habor. And it was category three and four. Ela Shepasha Basiyas Shor. Namely, he left his
Knapsack, he left his pot in he left his tree, he left his wall in the Rishus HaRabim, the Imkain, but honest lo asaklal, have a lav ihu karye. Here we have the svara, it's not mine. However, if Nasnu lo zman, if Bezdin gave him a time, then harehu shor bipshia. Then this now turns into a world of shor, and if he doesn't take care of his time limit, he is negligent. Umemela chayev al habor. Avo ba'ones lo naase shor, memela lav ihu karye. But before Bezdin gets involved, then it remains a non-entity. It's not a bor, it's not a shor, it's nothing. Memelo lav ihu karye. And then there's no such thing, as Tosos seemed to imply in our sugya of a pshia before Bezdin gets involved. According to Tosfos, the moment that I decide to keep it, that I want it to be mine, then I'm poshea if I don't move it. According to the Rambam, if I never built the pit, I'm never going to be chayev, even if I want to keep it. That's what we see from the Rambam of the chain collision, that the second person can claim, I didn't create this pit. So it's true, my knapsack is still in the Rishus HaRabim, but I didn't put it there. And even though I want to keep my knapsack, there's no reason for me to move it. It's not my pit. Were Bezdin to tell him, or the police to tell him, move it, right? And then he didn't move it, then that would already be making it into a shore, and then you would be chayev. It's mamono shehizik, and you'd be chayev, yeah?
Why is it a shore and not a bor in that case?
It's the combination. That would be the hybrid of bor and shore. Post the hasra of Bezdin, that's where you have the hybrid of bor and shore. Before the hasra of Bezdin, you have a ptur. The ptur is built on lav anakarisi, and that's the lav tchila solenezek, yes?
Don't you see from there that there could be a case of creating a bor b'pshia, even if I'm not the one who did it?
Only if Bezdin tells us that this is a bor. In other words, if Bezdin is going to come and tell us, this is a bor. In other words, even though you think it's not a bor because you didn't create it, but Hefker Bezdin Hefker, we are telling you that this is a bor, so then that's a bor. In other words, so from the moment Bezdin enters into the picture, then we have to change our criteria.
That's the Messias in America where you have like achrayas to shovel the snow in front of your house.
If Bezdin is telling you that
you have to shovel the snow.
Yeah, but right. Bezdin, we don't say you have 12 hours to shovel the snow or mashu kaze. So if someone slips during those 12 hours, lavani krisei. It's nature. What do you want from me? In other words, it's snowed. After that, even though lavani krisei, the law is calling it yours, and then the moment it's yours, then shoro yochiach, that we have a din of pshia, and that you're chayev for not moving it. Okay. In any case, this is the Reb Chaim. I'm sorry for not sending you to the Baal HaMor and the Rambam, but I don't think to be honest with you, I really don't think it would have made life easier. It's a tremendously long Ramban. After having said it over, now you look at it, maybe find the line or two within it. But Reb Chaim, you know, where it's understands the Rambam independently, just pointing out that you should be aware that this is a broader machlokes, and that you could learn then. And then all the Rambams, without ukimtos, everything is nice and neat and clean, and that we have a new concept of three or four counter. In other words, we have where a person creates a bor with negligence, then he's always going to be chayiv. A person creates a bor ba'onus, then it depends. If he wants to maintain it under his, he's chayev. If he was mafkirit, he's pater. If he doesn't create it, but someone else creates it, or it's created on its own, then he's always going to be pater. Even if he has time to move it, even if he's not mafkirit, this is not his bor. This is simply not his bor. And pshia alone is not going to be a factor to create a bor. In other words, once Bezdin calls it a bor and he leaves it, that pshia already will make him chayev. That pshia will neutralize the ein tchilaso v'nezek, and then he's going to be chayev. But that's a very, very local situation. Not as we point out, Tosa says the moment that even if it fell ba'onis, if you leave it around, you had time to move it, and you leave it around, your pshia is going to create a bor. That the Rambam disagrees with. If it's not yours, In the case of Nefilas Onis, that's true. That's what the Gemara says. But in the case of 3 and 4, these new categories that aren't in the Gemara, that the Baal Hamor views as an extension of the Gemara. Maybe put it over here. Tosis also, Lechora would also view it as an extension of the Gemara. But the Rambam and the Rif and the Ramban say no. In this category, even if you leave it, you had time to move it, you see the person's coming, you have time to move it. Again, you're not a great person. You're not a nice individual for putting, you know, allowing someone to be hurt with your item. But technically, this is not yours. Ani lo kriziha, it's not a bor, ain't chilasa lenezek, and you're not going to be chayev. Okay. Adka. Tough. Let's move over to the next sugya. The Gemara deals with an issue of Hebrew grammar. The Gemara says that when we have the common denominator of all of the categories, when you have that which is, going back to the Beis of Ed Aleph, Hatzad Hashavah Shebehen, Darkon Lahazik, Virasan Alecha, Ukishahizik, then Chav HaMazik L'Shaim Tashlumin Nezik. The Gemara was bothered, Chav, it should say Chayav Miboilei. And the Gemara answers, in Achinami, in classic Hebrew, you're correct, but Haitana Yerushalmi Hudetani Lishna Klila. That we have over here, a Tana who writes in shorthand. What's the difference between Chav and Chayav? So Tosos points out, Bishar Duchtin, we have other places where it says Chav, the Gemara didn't say, should say Chayav, Lo Diye Kach Yonin Chavin Lo Adam Ela Bethanav, Tofis Bacha Makav Shechav Lacherim, the Hosam Lo Shayach Lishna Dechiyuv, El Loshan Chova. So I sent it to the Rashash to explain the difference between Chav and Chayav. What does the Rashash point out is the difference between Chav and Chayav from a perspective of grammar? Apoel Yotze versus Apoel Omid. We have a transitive verb and an intransitive verb. A transitive verb needs an object. Chav is a transitive verb. Chav is to obligate, to make responsible. I make him responsible. I make them responsible. It's something which is transitive. However, chayav is an intransitive verb. I am chayav, right? Ploni is obligated. It only has a subject. It doesn't have an object. A transitive verb has to have an object. An intransitive verb doesn't have an object. In our Mishnah, kishahizik chav hamazik, it says, I am obligated. The mazik is obligated. That's intransitive. That should be chayav. Not transitive, not chav. That's what the Gemara over here is asking. Comes along the Gra, and in his own brilliant way, is, in other words, the Gra was pointed out by the Rashash. I'm not a bucky at where the Gra has hagos on the side of the Mishnah. So the Gra points out, chav hamazik l'shalem b'gmara makshu chav chayev miboyele u'meshani haitana Yerushalmihu. V'nokat lishna klila v'kasha habakol hashas nokat atana chayev amai shina kan. So you have seen, I think, the Maharitz Chayos, who says that these Mishnayos in the first parak, we already point this out, are ancient Mishnayos that preceded Rav Yehuda Hanasi, parallel to the Mishnayos of Masechet Nida that are from Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Within the Mishnayos of Midos, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov is speaking out the Mishnayos, and he says, this particular Lishka, Lo Zacharti, I don't remember what it was used for. In other words, the Mishnayos are his monologue of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, and we have Mishnayos Kelim, that after 30 Prakim, Rabbi Yossi, who was a Tana before Rav Yehuda Hanasi, says, these are beautiful Mishnayos, they begin with Tuma in Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph, and they end with Tahara in Perek Lamed, Mishnah, whatever it is, the last Mishnah. And so clearly the whole structure of the 30 Prakim was in front of Rabbi Yossi. But other than that, most Mishnayos were edited by Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. But these that preceded him could have their own nusach, and that would explain also the whole concept of mavil. You know, it's that you have words in the Mishnah that were not common in the time of the Amorim. They were used to the terminology of Yudan Nasi. They weren't used to a terminology of Maveh. So Rav felt this way, Shmuel felt that way, etc. However, the Gra felt that this was a proper question. All Mishnah went through the divining eyes of Rav Yudah HaNasi, and Rav Yudah HaNasi left this Mishnah the way it had been. Why would he leave something with a grammatical error? V'yeshlamar dekan shayach shapir lashon chav. Dekoy al davar shedarko v'hazu kishmirasa. The Mishnah is really transitive. The Mishnah is saying the shor, the bor, the mave, and the hever, they were chav, their owner. In other words, it's a transitive verb. There is an object. In other words, the subject are the shor, bor, etc. They were chav, the owner. Koy al dover shedarko lahazik shiro, sonu kishizik chav hamazik. Perish ashor chiev chav et ba'alav l'shale. There's room over here for an object. Dekenu lashon chav. It's a transitive verb. Rak lefizeh. But so a word is missing in the Mishnah. It should say chav et hamazik. That the shor is chav, its owner. Chav et hamazik. And the word S is missing. Al zeh parech, that's what the Gemara asks. Why is the word S missing? And it says, because this Tana left out the word S. It was a Tana Klila. It was a Tana who left out the word S. Does anyone know of a prime minister of Israel who was well known for leaving out the word S whenever he spoke Hebrew? Ben-Gurion never used the word et. He felt the word et was an extra word. There was no need to use it. That Hebrew would make perfectly good sense without the word et. So he was a Tana Klila. Namely, that this is a, is that there is this underlying school of individuals who view the word et as being extra. If you were starting to learn Hebrew as an adult, you'd say, why is the word et here? You have a subject, a verb, an object. You don't give it an et. But in classic Hebrew, we have the et. That's what the Gemara answered. Yeah, either the word et is missing. Meshani haytana klila laolam koy al shor upirish chav et hamazik v'hodelo katani et haytana Yerushalmi hu benakat lashon klila. Okay, the Gurion wasn't Yerushalmi, he's from Sde Boker, but b'cholzot he also left out the word et.
I don't understand. Why would the Gemara then say chay hamazim barle? Isn't that not the right?
If you're not going to have the et, you're not going to have a transitive, so then you should have it as an intransitive. Chayev. In other words, if you're only going to have a subject, it should be intransitive. It's sort of like a mamanashach. If it's a transitive, the word s is missing. If it's intransitive, we should have the word chayev. So Gemara answered, no, it's really transitive, and that's why the word chav is used, and the reason the word s is missing is because haitana klilahu. Okay. In any case, that's what we have over here. Let's just open the sugya of Meitav. Birshutchem. You saw the Gemara? In the beginning, right? Okay, so the Gemara has a machlokes between Rav Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva. The conclusion of the Gemara is that everyone agrees that you pay damages in terms of the quantity of money that you pay. The question is, if you're paying with a field, with what quality of a field do you pay? With the meitav of the nizak or with the meitav of the mazik, with various nafkaminas? That's the maskana of the Gemara, and that's all learned out from Sukkim. But the Gemara had a havamina. The Gemara had a havamina that meitav sadeu, meitav karma yeshalem, meitav sadeu shel nizak, meitav karma shel nizak, divrei Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Akiva amar lo ba, kosa l'ligvos anezikin min ha'idis kavachomer lehekdesh. What was Rav Yishmael's shita in the Hava Mina? So Gemara thought, Achal Shmeina Meshalein Shlema, Achal Khusha Meshalein Shlema. That maybe you always pay the price of a Shmeina. The Gemara asked, is that possible? In other words, that you should pay more than that which you are actually doing? So Rav Idi Barva says, we're dealing with a case where you have a suffix. And then you be machmir and pay the shmein. The Gemara asks, is that possible? Don't we say hamotzi mechavero olav haraya? And then the Gemara moves over, and no, Rabbi Yishmael was never meant this track at all. What exactly is this havamina? So the Rabbeinu Peretz goes in the direction of Rashi. Salka daitach hashta de boy lemeimar afilu achal kusha shel nizak meshalim de meshamda. Shel Nizak, Upirish Mori, that we have over here a double machlokes, machlokes in terms of the world of Edis, but also machlokes how much you pay. But it's just, it's very, very difficult to set up such a havamina. Isn't it obvious you never pay more than you or mazik? Isn't it obvious that in every suffix we should always deal with the principle of hamotzi mechaver lo haraya? So the Ravid offers an alternative perush for the havamina. Rabbi Yishmael amar achal shmeina mishalim shmeina, kosalka daitach debaha pligi rabbi debaha pligi. Rabbi Akiva savar lo ba kosel ligvos shave v'shave min ha'idus. Rabbi Yishmael savar aruga ba'aruga, bein shmeina bein kchusha. What over here is the Ravid positing? That we have two different standards of how to pay. We have a payment of shave b'shave, what we would call domim, you pay value, but we also have a standard called aruga b'aruga. So I sent you to a Gemara in Psachim where we find a parallel chakira in the world of truma. What would aruga b'aruga, what kind of payment would that be? Not lefi damim, but lefi...
Like value?
Damim is value. What's the other, in other words, in the Gemara, in Psachim, they have a question. But when you pay back truma, the Gemara says that you pay back a nasan la kohen es hakodesh, you have to return that which you ate. So one daya is the value of that which you ate, and the other daya is? If you ate apples, what do you have to return? Apples, right? You pay the mida. You have to return the quantity of that which you ate. My nafkamina, aren't you giving back the same value? So nafkamina is, let's say you ate an apple of truma, that when you ate it, it was worth a dollar. When we come to the point of your paying, there's been an inflation, and now it's worth $4. The price, the, in other words, the value, I shouldn't have been in inflation. It's not a question of the money change. The apples are more rare now, and the apple goes for $4. What do you owe? If you owe a dollar, damim, or do you owe an apple, which is $4? What are you going to pay, $1 or $4? Namely, that there is a concept of paying lefi mida. And so perhaps over here, that would be the machlokes between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva holds shave b'shave. You pay value. You pay that, you know, where it's that which the loss that you cause. Masha'en ken lefi Rabbi Yishmael, you pay aruga ba'aruga. You return an aruga. Even if achal kchusha, you return an aruga of shmeina. Why would, now in the world of truma, we pointed out that that's gzeres hakasuv, perhaps. But nasan lakohen es hakodesh. You owe that which you ate. You ate an apple, you owe an apple. Why would we apply that to the world of nezikin? Did we see anything in the last 3 months that would imply that the world of nezikin is not a world of shava b'shava? Did we see anything that would imply that the world of Nezikin perhaps relates to an object as opposed to a loss to the owner? I'm sure that I am... Something's going on in your brains that you are... Does the phrase milv haksuva batora ring a bell with you? That we pointed out that... Yes. What did Tosa say?
Tosa said that without the Torah's finish, you wouldn't know that you're paying for Nezikin.
Right. And it was that paying for Nezikin is not the equivalent of paying back a loan. Paying for Nezikin is exeris hakasuv. Self called self. We would have thought, you broke a window, move us by your whole iskan. It's gone. There's no way you can return the window. We have a chiddush that when you're paying money, it's the equivalent of your replacing the window. That's a chiddush. So we would have thought in that chiddush, maybe what do you have to do to replace the window? You have to replace a window. Namely, if you ate an aruga, you have to replace an aruga. That this would be lefi mida. Or hezek sheino nikar. Why would we say hezek sheino nikar lav shmei hezek? Well, isn't it clear that if someone's menasech yayin, that the owner suffered a loss?
Because
Who cares if someone lost? That's not the halacha.
What's the halacha? We wouldn't look at not the loss of the owner, but was there a change in the object? That you're paying for a change in the object. Again, so there is room for a hava mina to say that you're paying aruga ba aruga. If you're paying aruga ba aruga, is there room to say that if you have a suffix, whether it was a shmena or a khusha, that you would pay a shmena? If you're paying aruga ba aruga, yeah, we have a din of suffix doraisa l'chumra. Namely, that hamotzi mechevel of haraya is when we're dealing with the world of donin. But maybe when we're dealing with the world of mida, then we really move over into a different category. So according to the Ravid, this is the Havamina. The Havamina was that maybe you are not paying shava b'shava, you're paying aruga b'aruga, you're paying according to the Mida. Kamash Malan, the Gemara says no. Certainly, even though it's Xeris HaKasuv, even though Hezek Shenonikar Lav Shmei Hezek, you're paying Dun, you're not paying Mida. And then the question is, how then do we translate this damim into the world of meitav? Okay, so that will begin with Bli Neder next time. So I'll give you my makamos, dealing most of them with the world of hektish that the Gemara wants to use as a foil for Rabbi Akiva. Okay. Yes.
So going back to Rabbeinu Peretz, which Rashi is he quoting? I couldn't figure out which one he was talking about.
I think he's just talking about all the Rashi's on the sugya. In other words, that the Rashi took it literally, that the Gemara really meant it, you pay Shmena.
So he's not opening a direct quote.
No, I think he's saying this is the Shita of Rashi. The Shita of Rashi, that according to Rabbi, in other words, that we're dealing with two different worlds. Rabbi Akiva said dealing with a world of how do you pay, and Rabbi Shmuel is dealing with a world of what are you paying, and that these are two boats that are not touching one another at all. Okay, to be continued. Emir Tashem, we have, I need your help. We have a maximum, I think, of 5 more shiurim before I have to stop, so that you'll be able to take a bechina on Ches Teves. But if you look at a calendar and tell me when you think, look at your notes and look at the Gemara, and when do you think that we have to stop the shiurim so you'll have time to chazer properly before Bechinan Chet Tevet. Okay? I don't remember what the English name of Chet Tevet is, but you'll figure it out. Right? It's in the calendar. Okay.